Welcome to another episode of the Three Part Schmarks.
It's a special one, mate. We're together in person for the third time ever.
It's
been busy, it's been full on, but I'm stoked to be settled again.
Yeah.
And for the golf listeners, like back and ready to focus again, which I have been doing. I had a friend send an ad for a hitting net on Facebook Marketplace to me.
Yep.
Which I jumped on immediately. And turns out I met a great another local golfer who has an incredible sim set up in his backyard. Have I told you about this?
Yeah.
I'm just like, I'm blown away by it. It was such great inspiration. He's got this like full net situation in his backyard with a TV mounted from the shed in a window. Mm. He's like, me and my buddies just play virtual golf. Yeah. Full tilt all weekend.
Yeah.
We have the best time.
See, that's elite.
Elite level home golf net situation.
That's a great setup. And, you know, if we just bring it back a bit, because let's actually try and let listeners know where we actually are right now and our setup. In the situation we're in, we are in a, what would you call this?
It's my pool house.
We're in the pool house.
We're in the pool house.
We've got a couple of drinks.
We've leveled up. We've gone from the dungeon from where episode one, Humble Beginnings of season one started. We're in the dungeon with a strung up bed sheet to we're in the pool house.
We're in a pool house. It's a Saturday night and third time together recording live. Ever.
This would be episode 31. We're recording right now.
Huge
news.
Yeah.
So like, it's pretty crazy that we've now, like, we're recording episode 31 as we speak.
Yeah.
And this is only the third time that we've actually physically been together recording. It feels a little bit strange. It
feels very strange.
Yeah.
And it's going to take some getting used to.
Yeah. I'm about it though. That's fine. Cause it's the same deal. Like if we're on the other end of a computer, then we're having a yarn.
It's the same thing.
Same thing.
So we got a few things that we are going to talk about tonight.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about your round the other day.
Which
was a good one.
Yeah, I snuck out on Thursday. It was hammering down rain. I teed up for a date on the golf course, which my plus one had to bail due to family commitments, which is fine. But I thought I'm not going to let the bad weather dictate what I do today.
It cleared up, though, for a bit, did it?
Yeah, the back nine was pretty clear, but there was a bit of rain about on the front nine. Yeah. So everything was a bit soggy and forgiving, which is... We'll take it. Yeah, so we're gonna go through that round.
Yep.
I've also got the practice net in the backyard, and we've had some, I feel like, pretty substantial breakthroughs this afternoon. Like, we just had a few beers, swung a few balls. Like, how many balls do you reckon we hit each?
Well, we have 12 balls out there, and if we did the maths,
I'd say like 120 to 150 each over the course of the afternoon.
But they were broken up. They were slower. It wasn't driving range feels.
No, not at all.
And, yeah, that's something I definitely want to get into, the difference between hitting into a net versus the dip versus being in a driving range. And
do you just want to get into it now?
Well, yeah, let's go, because I think, like you said, it was significant.
I've had that, like, so background, I picked up that net, was it early this week or? Yeah, it was earlier this week. It was, like, Monday.
Yeah.
I think I picked it up on Monday. What, Thursday, today, Saturday? So I've had it for 6 days. And the day I set it up, obviously I was chomping at the bit, just keen as to have a swing in the backyard. Yeah. Apologies to my neighbour, I might have shanked one over the fence. But I found immediately that it was like a big difference to going to the range where you're really focused on that ball flight and where's the ball gone from your swing to versus just, I'm just going to sit here and focus.
On what it should feel like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. We've been playing now solid for probably 8 months.
Mm.
Where we're like playing every single week, multiple times a week, hitting balls. So you know when you hit the ball good, when you've struck it really well, you know exactly how that feels.
Mm.
And you know when you've hit it poorly, you've probably got an idea of where it's going to go wrong.
Yeah. You shanked it, you topped it. Yeah.
And going to the net, you can see that first three odd meters of ball flight where it's
not doing the right.
Yeah, you'd be like, that was going right. Yeah. Like, or it came out left and that normally means it ends up right or whatever.
Yeah.
So that was a big thing for me where I was like, cool, I just get to focus on everything except the ball flight, which is something I've never done before.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, we rocked up today and we had a pitcher. You had a 5-iron and I had the 7-iron as well.
Yeah.
And we just started with our pitcher just like hitting like 50, 60% shots.
Yeah. Yeah, we're focusing on takeaway. We're focusing on a few things. We're just kind of like brainstorming together about things that we both know, right? Because it's we're not claiming to be professionals or anything like that, but we've both had lessons and we both have experiences that we can maybe share with each other and help each other.
100%.
And we just kind of started looking at a few things. We looked at a few tutorials online that we'd seen and looking for a few like takeaway techniques and all that kind of stuff. And we then set ourselves the challenge of flushing. So this is the other thing, right? Like it's not how do you hit the ball? It's like just 12 shots with good connection
just flushed.
In a row. Just flush them.
Yeah. Yeah. But like one of the things that we actually wanted to look at was, which I spoke to you about the other day, was when we actually play golf and we don't have the chance to go to the driving range together because we live so far apart. But when we play golf, we don't have the chance to probably chat to each other about what our swings look like and what our takeaway is and what we do. And we spent a good solid like 30, 40 minutes on that today. Like when you're the setup, club face, where the shaft is, what you do when you pull it away, all these things.
Yeah.
And it was actually so helpful.
Well, like it's just come to mind. I think that's the first time we've ever practiced together.
We've never practiced together. We've always just rocked up at a golf course and say, hey, we're playing golf.
Yeah.
Legit.
That's wild,
isn't it?
Like how long have we been doing this? We've only ever played games. Yeah. We've never practiced.
Never practiced together. Never practiced. Yeah. I don't think I've actually ever practiced like how we practice today. I've been to the driving range hundreds of times. Yeah. And I've never treated it like a practice session. I almost just rock up there going, I'm just hitting balls.
But I feel like when we go to the range, we're so focused on where and how we're hitting the ball.
I know.
And it's so much about where the ball's going to go. Mm. And, you know, this might sound so dumb, and maybe it is dumb. We've both had lessons, both know how things should feel.
Mm.
Reining that back into everything that's happening before the ball flight, I feel like it helped me.
Massively.
And when we get into what my round was, we'll talk about it more, but it's, yeah, having the net in the backyard has been huge for me.
Massive.
And like what I was saying earlier about if you get a taller club, like say hypothetically an 8-iron, and you're hitting into the net from, let's go like 10 meters away. So that's 11 yards for the other people. You're giving yourself a smaller target to hit.
Yeah.
And then when you get to the course, you're going like, oh, I need to
hit
this
target.
Gap. That's my target.
Yeah.
Like it's getting you in these better habits.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, we had the pitcher, the 7-iron and the 5-iron. You were saying quite frequently at the beginning of our session that you were saying like always struggle with my 5, my 3, and
just
my 2
long irons.
My,
in general.
Just see long irons in general. Yeah, you've always struggled with it. Not claiming to be any kind of coach or professional whatsoever, but it just your setup with those longer irons was like it was different, and you were treating them like they like you're off the tee no matter what. No matter where you were setting up like this needs to be a long shot, this has to have distance, it has to have power. Then we were just chatting about like why don't you just treat it like a 9-iron, the iron that you're hitting, it's an iron. And you had a massive breakthrough.
Yeah, I had this weird relationship with my 4, 5, and 6 iron where I felt like I had to hit them differently than the rest of my irons. When I was playing on Thursday, I actually caught myself thinking about my 7-iron being a bit like, oh, it's halfway between the good and the bad clubs.
Mm.
When you said that to me today, like, why are you lining up so drastically different from your pitching wedge to your 5-iron? Because my alignment was like worlds apart.
So different.
So, so different.
Yeah.
And as soon as someone says that to me, I was like, oh my goodness, it is.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm so far out of alignment here. What's going on? And that but was like, just
yeah, the difference in length between your 7-iron and your 5-iron.
Marginal.
But you're treating it like it's a driver.
Yeah, it was my behavior above the club.
Yeah.
It was almost like an instant snap where I even said it, I think, 5 or 6 times while we were doing it, going, this is my 9-iron. I'm swinging my 9-iron. And that was just like a little reset of going, like, you're just hitting your 9-iron. It's just whatever. Yeah,
but the results.
And the result, we assume.
We can't tell.
We can't tell, right? Because we're hitting into a net. So you only get ball striking and like the trajectory of the initial shot. But I was striking every single one.
But we could tell before you had that little mindset shift, they weren't coming off.
No.
And then with that shift, they started sounding and looking a lot better.
Oh, well, it was creaming them, for sure. Yeah.
Head to our stories, have a look. They're being creamed.
The backyard golf.
We're creaming them.
I'm actually really intrigued to see how that difference in, like, this is just a pure mindset shift.
Yeah.
Right? This isn't a, like, I've had a tweak from a lesson and I'm trying to apply something new. This is, like, 100% about my setup and it's in my head and what I believe about those taller clubs.
Yeah.
I'm playing on Monday, so results will vary.
Of course. Yeah, it will vary. But how do you take away what you work on in the net to golf? Because it's all different.
It is.
It's all different scenarios. So we're just putting ourselves in the same scenario, 12 shots in a row, and golf isn't that.
No, but every shot you play, you're going to want to strike the ball well.
This is true.
And that's where I think having a net at home where you can go, I'm just going to hit 60 balls a day, and the only goal is to actually strike the thing well. Like we said earlier, we know what's good and what's bad, and that's just what we're hunting. We're hunting more of those good feelings in the ball strike.
But yeah, because as you said, like, we've been playing solid for 8 months now, and so you know what those good feelings
for sure are. But as well, if you go to a lesson and go, hey, I got a net in my backyard and I focus on my ball striking and I hit 300 to 500 balls a week,
yeah,
just swinging and hitting balls with various clubs, and they go, okay, awesome. Now I want to give you this swing thought, and then you can make that a habit. Like, it's going to help your game. It has to.
100%. If you compare yourself to any other schmuck, you're hitting 400 balls more a week. That's huge.
Huge.
That's a lot of hours.
Absolutely.
Like, you go, but it doesn't need to be all at once. You can be like, I'm going to take up 12 balls this afternoon and hit them 3 times.
Well, that's what I did the week before I had the net.
Mm.
I had the same 12 balls that I got out there now, and I had my lob wedge, and I'm like, I'm just going to chip. And I was sending the data in that group chat to you and James of, like, my first 12, I only put 3 of them within 2 meters of the pin that I was aiming for.
Mm.
And then my next 12, it was 6. And then my next 12 was 9. And I was like, it's almost statistically getting better every, like, I'm doubling my, it's just compounding. And then I found that when I played on Thursday, my short game was impeccable with that one club. Yeah. I was like, oh, cool, I want to hit that far.
It was on.
And that was
that a result of the net, though?
No, I think that was a result of chipping. That particular example was a result of just chipping practice. I felt just comfortable and confident.
Mm.
And there was that one reel that we had up where I chipped between the two palm trees. And that was, in my head, I was looking at it going, this is the shot you've been playing in the backyard all week. It's that 12-meter chip. It's like the full length of the backyard. You know exactly how hard to hit it, how far to hit it. And the execution was perfect. I got a par save and a par three
after
I put it 15 meters right.
Going back to the whole practice thought, though, like, for an example, we both played in team sports, like you hockey, I played rugby and cricket and all of that. So there's moments when you're in hockey practice or rugby practice, and after the training, For example, at rugby, you might spend 20 minutes kicking conversions with like 4 other blokes.
Yeah.
And you can chat about your setup, how you approach the ball, what you're doing with your head. Are you over it? Are you coming through with it in the right way? And it doesn't always have to come from a pro. Like, if you're people of all similar ability and striving for the same goal, that can sometimes be, it's almost invaluable, like, to have that sort of feedback that you can bounce off someone of the same skill level.
Yeah.
Be like, oh, but this is what I do, and this comes off well most of the time, so why don't you try this?
Definitely.
And it doesn't have to be so structured as it is with a pro at a lesson, for example. They give you all this structure, but we can just be a little bit more free flow and be like, oh, why don't you give this a go? Like, this is what I do. This is my swing thought. Why don't you give this a go?
And that's where, in our progression, our geographical gap is hard for us, because that's, like we said, it's the first time we've ever practiced together.
Mm.
And when you get to a round, we're playing a whole round. You don't want to be critiquing your buddy, you know, you get to the 6th tee, hey, mate, why don't you just try this?
And yeah, because that's a whole different thought, isn't it? You don't want that.
No, you don't.
Because you're playing golf. You're in the golf zone. You don't want someone saying, why don't you do this? You're like, dude, shut up.
I'm trying to play.
We're playing golf.
Yeah, check it out.
And so that was like a whole different experience.
It was fun.
That was a whole different experience.
I had a lot of fun this afternoon. Like, we're challenging each other a little bit. Like, just do it. Like, you're going to hit into a net. What's the consequence?
What's the issue?
Who cares?
Yeah.
Play a flop with a 2-iron. Who cares?
We did. Until that one went skyrocketing into your shed. That's okay.
The belt of the shed. Sorry.
Yeah, no. Invaluable, like, and great experience. And I think it's definitely something that not only we should do it again, but I would definitely say to anyone else who's out there, like, try and find a buddy where you'd be like, if it's at the range or the net, and say, hey, let's just pick apart our swings. Like, you don't have to be pros. You can be like, look at my swing. And from another person of the same ability, tell me what you think.
For sure.
It's fair.
Absolutely. And if it was a team environment, you'd call your buddy out and be like, come on, mate, you gotta cut that shit out.
Yeah.
You're doing something wrong here. And you might address it in a different way.
Yeah, I think sure.
Golf's a delicate way you gotta address it because it's very personal.
Yeah. But that's the thing, like today, like you're saying you're dropping your head. So okay, the next 12 balls, I'm gonna keep my head as still as possible, let my body do the work.
But I've seen so much of that from you over the last 6 months.
Yeah, but that's when we're playing golf. To say
that mid-round, you can't be like, hey, mate, just try this.
Just don't.
But when you've got 12 balls to hit into a wall.
Yeah. Hey, pull this club out, hit it.
Yeah.
Hit it 60% and keep your head still.
Just try this, see what happens.
Yeah. I don't think we had that ability though a year ago or 2 years ago to be able to say those sorts of things.
No.
So it's super interesting and I vouch for it. I think it's a really good experience.
Absolutely. We'll have to do more of it.
Yeah, I'm sold. I want a net. Absolutely sold.
It makes a difference for sure.
It's a huge difference.
And maybe this is a good way to segue into my round. I got to the first tee at Gosford on Thursday.
Was this your first game since Horizons?
Correct. Because
that was 4 weeks ago.
Three. Four?
I think it's four this weekend.
All right, copy that. Four. Long time. It's probably the longest gap we've had.
Yeah.
Of like, personally, the longest gap I've had of playing on a course since we started what we're doing here. So, it was a bizarre feeling. But like I mentioned it to you in a voice note because you were having a bit of a shit time last week in the range.
Yeah.
And I was saying how much that having a bit of a gap from playing with moving house and all that kind of stuff was positively impacting me. And I felt comfortable again. And like, I feel like there might have been little like body niggles and stuff that were happening that had recovered. And I showed up to the first tee just really calm for the first time. Like I wasn't like, oh gosh, how's my day going to go? And maybe that was as well monkey off the back of the breaking 100.
Yeah.
I put so much pressure on that.
There's no thought of that anymore.
There was zero pressure. I was just turning up to play golf. So I got to the first tee at Gosford. Normally I'd pull like driver, 3 wood, 3 hybrid, something longer. And I was actually on the phone to James as I was walking to the first tee. He's like, hey, just hit a 5-iron. Just hit your 5-iron. Like, he knows that course as well.
Get in and play.
If you crush that 5-iron,
you're in.
You're playing a 9-iron.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's a good place to be. So I thought, okay, that's a good way to start. Yeah. So I played the 5-iron. I pushed it right. I was cool. I was like, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So I played a great little recovery shot. Then, shit, 2 putts, got a bogey on one.
Move on.
Get to the second tee. I'm like, I'm not going to hit my 3 wood here like I normally do. I'm just going to change it up.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm relaxed. I'm calm. I tried to hit the 2-iron.
Don't you wish you could hit it now?
Yeah. Jeez.
The breakthrough. We have to get out.
I put it, probably only hit it about 140 meters.
Mm.
So it's like not far enough for that hole.
Yeah.
Then played another 2-iron, like little punch on the trees. Got to the green, then 3-putted. I think I ended up getting a triple. Like it was just a bit of a bad hole.
Yeah, it's a pretty difficult hole, that one.
It is.
It goes straight, left, right.
Yeah, I think I was like 80 meters out. And I made the decision that I was going to play a half gap wedge instead of a full lob wedge.
Mm.
And I put it short, but it was safe. And then I got to chip and then I failed putting. But as well, it was my first time hitting a putter in.
Yeah.
4 weeks because I've been practicing in the net at home and chipping.
You're not putting,
But I hadn't putted anything. I hadn't touched the putt. Yeah, you get what you get.
Yeah.
But then I got to the third tee. I have hit more balls into the water off the third tee at Gosford than I think anywhere else. I just flat out topped my 3 wood.
You did it again.
I did it again. I got a video of it.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
No, I'm not sharing that one.
Can we look at it now?
Not right this minute. No. So anyway, I topped the 3 wood, put it in the drink. Reloaded, crushed it right in the middle of the fairway, 130.
And you think to yourself, why did that shot before have to happen? And why does it take me putting it into the drink for me to instantly change how I hit this next one?
Correct. So anyway, I think I ended up getting another triple, back-to-back triples on tour.
Yeah, because you said, you called me. Actually, you called me halfway through.
That's later.
Later.
I called you later.
But
I called you on
the back. This on the way to the...
No. This is well before that. That happened.
Yeah.
Got to the fourth, great big bloody slice onto the wrong fairway.
It's a day out.
And I'm going, oh my goodness, what is it? Like, I thought having time off was going to help me here.
Yeah.
I channeled my net thoughts and like what I've been thinking in the net.
Mm.
And I got to my ball and went, I'm just going to play a 5-iron. I'm going to chip through the trees, just get myself back in play. That's it. And if I can get myself far enough back in play, then I'll be attacking the green and I can save another bogey. That's my goal. And I did that. Played a great chip through the trees with the 5-iron. It's like a 120-meter shot. Put myself in the position where I was 80 meters from the center of the green. The flag was in the center.
Mm.
Everything's looking good. I pushed my approach to the right.
That's, yeah.
Shit.
I do that all the time.
And I'm just thinking like, holy shit, buddy, you had an opportunity here to save it.
And you completely flunked it.
Yeah. Walked to my ball, settled myself down, started thinking about what I've been doing at home with my chips. But this is the perfect opportunity. You've got to fly the ball 5 meters and it's on the green. That's the only goal. Just get on the green. I did exactly that. Landed it on the right on the front edge of the green. Little jump and a roll and it hits the pin and bumps out.
Okay. Just pause there. That is practice.
Absolutely.
That is practice. That is what you were doing. You said when you got the net, you brought your lob wedge out and you hit 36 balls. So you go, you get to that situation on the course and you go, this is the same situation of my 30 to 50 practice shots I did the other day against the net.
Correct.
So why does it have to be any different?
And had it been going the tonics a little bit slower,
yeah,
it would have gone in. And it would have par. I would have gone, holy shit, I just got a chip in par.
And we're moving on.
And off we go.
Yeah.
So I took it. I was like, sweet ass. And I sunk it. It was like a putt, probably, I don't say, half a meter long.
Yeah.
Sunk that, moved on. I was going, you beauty. I was going,
bogey. We are in.
Went to the par 3 fifth, hit my 8-iron. Perfect length.
Yeah.
Line was just a little bit off. Sat it just on the right edge. So another chip. I was probably 4.5, 5 meters from the pin. Like, not a bad spot. I was happy. Great little chip. Put myself within half a meter again. Putted for the par.
Take it.
Absolutely take it.
Take it.
Got to 6. Massive slice off the tee.
Yeah.
Huge slice.
I love how, just for a second, you just remember every single hole and every single shot. It's there in your head, and you're revisiting it over every time. Well, you're probably like driving to work, and you're like, oh, that bloody seventh hole.
Yeah,
that second shot, the slice. Oh god, what would I do to do that again? Are you? That's what you're doing, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's exactly what I'm doing. I'm driving around going,
you're going, oh, that bloody 17th.
What could have been?
Or what did I do there? that tree root on the 17th.
Right. So I've hit my tee shot off 6.
Yeah.
Massive slice. Landed on the fairway of 4. Pulled out the 5-iron. Chipped it. Split the cherries. Got myself a 90-meter approach. Put on the green. 2-putt bogey. Move on. Get to 7. Hit the best drive I've hit, I think, in recent history. It's a 300-meter par 4. I put myself with a 60-meter approach. Put it over. Just hit it too hard.
You absolute dimwit.
I cleaned that shot, dude. Like, it was the best wedge shot I think I've ever played. And I just...
Wrong club.
Right over the pin and just over that. It was my lob wedge. Right over the back. But I got there. And I channeled my thoughts from the backyard. And I chipped. And I gave myself a 2-meter putt, which lipped out.
Mm-hmm.
I think I took a double there. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah. So...
8 is a par 3.
Are we going through every single hole here?
Just quickly. 8's par 3. Put it to the left. Chip. 2-foot. Bogey. 9. I think I've got a double.
So you finished at the turn. What were you on?
48.
Okay. So you had a 48. Let's not go through every single hole.
Mm-hmm.
Let's more talk about, okay, you finished the 9 on a 48 with some pretty average golf at the start.
I just wasn't getting off the tee well. I just wasn't. If I could take my tee shots that I was playing on that day 6 months ago, I would have taken them. They were fine.
What were you thinking at the turn to be able to go, okay, what do I need to do here at the back?
The same way I started. Just this is the difference. It's like, remember when I first broke the 100, I think it was episode 3, I spoke about now I get to go play with a bit of freedom. I just went, oh, cool, now I play the back. I was just calm. It wasn't like I'm on here to shoot under 100.
Mm.
It was just, I'm out playing golf.
I'm so glad that feeling's gone.
Like, there was no pressure, zero pressure.
Coming back, actually, to what you were feeling on that first hole where you were, like, super calm and just super chill, like, and just out playing golf. I was chatting about this to my coach the other day in a lesson. I was saying to him, no matter what situation I'm in, where if I'm with a mate, if I'm by myself, if I'm with a group of mates, I always have like so many nerves on the first hole. I'm nervous and I feel like there's absolutely nothing I can do about it. It's just in my head. I just always get so nervous on the first. Do you feel like you have ever been in that situation where you've rocked up on the first and you have like, oh, I just want to get off here. I want to feel good. I want to play well. And then with that game the other day where you said, yeah, you're so calm, has there been like a shift for you?
There was, we've spoken about it so many times where I'm applying pressure to myself because I wanted to achieve that goal, where now I feel like I've broken through that and I needed to do that, right? Because it was like, it was such an old goal and I'm not the kind of person to give up on a goal.
Yeah.
But I can change the way I approach a goal. Now, for me, the goal is to keep getting better at golf. Like, it always has been what it is, right? Like,
yeah.
I want to shoot in the 80s.
Mm.
consistent. That's always been the goal, but I'm not putting a time on it. That's been the biggest shift for me because
we had time frames on it, didn't we?
We did, which is fine because you set goals, yeah. You should be able to measure them. And
we were way too time orientated though, I think, at the start. And I also think we were way too goal orientated. Like, yeah, it's cool to say, I want to eventually shoot in the 80s, but we shouldn't be putting time frames on it.
It's something I mentioned the other week, and I'm not sure if I said it on an episode or when you and I were at the course. It was when Rick Shields was playing with Tommy Fleetwood. He said, I could go out for a social round right now and shoot 100 and be happy.
Because he just loves golf.
That should be the attitude we're having.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm going out on a Thursday by myself. My score should be irrelevant.
Yeah.
I'm not competing. I'm not doing anything. I'm going out for a hit on my own. I'm going to have fun. That's where I think that mindset shift came for me. And I got into the back nine. I got off the tee okay. My second shot, I made a flat-out mistake and had to hit a provisional. Took a drop.
So when did you call me? Because just to let the listeners know, I received a phone call.
You did. I was in a point. When was that?
Was it Thursday?
10, 11, 12, 13. I got an 8, which was my only blowout of the round.
So I received a phone call and it began.
That was on the tee of, after I teed off.
You said you had 8 on bad 15. Shots in a row. And so you called me saying, I'm in a bad spot here.
I rang you and I said, I think
I've had 8 bad shots in a row.
I'm having a collapse.
I'm having a collapse.
I'm in it. I've just played 8 bad shots.
Yeah. I can't actually remember what I said. I think look, just to keep it simple, I'm pretty sure I just said, dude, just have fun. Mm. Like, that's the main thing you've always said to me.
Absolutely.
It's just have fun. And then after that phone call, you set up the camera, which is on our Instagram. If you want to have a look at what a phone call with a mate can do midway through a round after a collapse, then you just went and did like one of the most beautiful chips.
Split
two palm trees, put it on the green,
took the par,
moved on, and then finished.
Well, finished the round. But this is the collapse after that. I put one in the drink on the next hole.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyway. Got through the course, made some great decisions. I actually found out I only had one ball in my bag, which afterwards I found another sleeve of 3, so I would have been fine. Had I lost it, I would have figured it out. I started playing in a way that was so conservative to avoid penalties, it wouldn't allow me to get into trouble. So I got to the 17th where I normally try and play a 200 shot and went, I'm going to play a 170 shot. And then I'm going to play a chip in my 6 iron and then I'm going to approach with a lob wedge but get a bogey.
You're playing the same way that we played Horizons.
Correct.
And you started that round the same way we played Horizons. Just
correct.
Safer golf. Pull it up and approach instead of going for it.
Correct. I sunk an amazing putt on the 18th from about 7-8 meters to get a 96, and it's my best ever round.
Cheers.
Cheers, mate.
These are the breakthroughs that we're looking for. And I think from what we've been talking about in this podcast is being a little bit more conservative and having that game management, for sure.
Course management, for sure.
Yeah.
But it's course management mixed with ability management.
Yeah.
And
you gotta managing expectations.
Correct.
That has got to be us. I reckon that's got to be our slogan.
Yeah.
Three putt schmucks, managing expectations. Correct.
It's managing the course with the expectations as a hybrid going, we're going to make
this decision. This is where we're at. This is what we can do. We know our abilities.
Correct.
And why should we try and play outside of those abilities?
Absolutely.
Until we know we can.
Absolutely.
Until we put in the work to create that ability. Why should we try and just make it happen? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. We're all over it.
I reckon this is, for a live episode, I reckon this is pretty cathartic.
It is. It's been great to catch up. It's so much fun recording in person, dude.
Love it.
We've got a lot coming up.
We do. So let's share. Let's share what's coming up. What are we thinking?
We're catching up with our old friend, James Raynell. So he played in a pro-am in the Hunter Valley last week. So we're going to get the inside scoop from him to kind of, you know, just get a feel of like what that experience is like, because it's a bit on.
It sounded like a really cool experience. I don't want to let off too much, but he had a great day out there, and we're keen to share that with all of you as well.
Absolutely.
And we have
a guest. Next episode will be our guest, who is John Zakala. He is a osteopathic doctor, and he is Titleist Performance Institute certified. So he specializes with some golf stuff. So we're super keen to like jump into
pick brain
about like movement and looking after our bodies with golf and how we can, you know, help ourselves to get better. So I'm really excited for that chat.
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to be a lot going on there.
Yeah. We definitely have some things to bring up with him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm playing on Monday with our dear friend James at Tim's favourite course, the Springs Peach Ridge.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Mm. So I'm really excited to see how I go with like these few little breakthroughs.
Yeah.
I feel like there's going to be a bit to break down.
I just want you to be able to take these breakthroughs there.
I hope I can. I'm going to be swinging tomorrow and I'm not going to swing again before I play. We'll see. A couple little practice shots tomorrow. And then after that, I'm playing in the Shelley Beach Pro-Am.
Huge.
As a guest, which I'm super grateful and excited about.
That's massive, dude.
Massive.
This is like, that's the kind of golf that you need to put yourself in these situations. That's something that we can pick up with James, like how he managed in those situations of playing in a group of some pros, some amateurs, and how you can sort of collaborate.
I'm really excited to break it down with him before I go.
Yeah.
Because it might shift the way that I approach it.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah.
Because he had some takeaways from that.
Yeah.
And he was saying to us that's like the best day of golf he's ever had.
Yeah. There's some absolute nuggets that we can pick out of that game. So stay tuned because you're going to find out some really cool, interesting things about how that all unfolded. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening.
Cheers.
Thanks, Timbo. Appreciate it, mate.
All right.
What do we do about like the last little bit after the music stops if we're not on the computers?
We could just like sit here and just like have a little dance or something.
Record cicadas?
We could boogie.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hmm.